Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Hi there. I'm Dr. Bill Price. I'm a Master Global Executive Neuroscience Leadership Coach. I'm very interested in neuroscience in terms of not only in the world of work, but also in the world of spirituality. And I firmly believe that when God created, when God molded man, he didn't create man, he molded man, he created the world and the universe. But he created and he molded man. And when he did that, he took out of the earth and he created out of minerals and out of dust, he created a human body or molded a human body. And so the neuroscience definition of the reality of what happened in the book of Genesis is we are a neuro, so in other words, there are neurological pathways in our brain, in our mind. We have levels of consciousness. We've got living biology, which is our brain intelligences, our logical levels, our capacity to think, our ability to be conscious and to make conscious decisions and to be intentional other than the animal kingdom. And he made us psychosocial. So through every thought and feeling and action, we've developed a personality over time. And we're a living being that God has placed on this earth in space, in time, in a generation to live for a life reason, for a life season. Restoring your life and rebuilding your life in 52 days, in the second part of our series, we heard that King Artaxerxes gave Nehemiah the go-ahead. He was a cupbearer to the king, and he said, go, and you can go and rebuild the city, but you can't take forever. And so there was a time scale already applied. Because we live in time, and a lot of times people say, don't worry, time will heal all things, I'm afraid I don't believe that. Time just moves on. It's a space in which we live, but what we do personally, as people who make decisions, who have self-control and self-determination being inbuilt and inbreathed into us by our Creator, we turn opportunity of time into opportunities of healing and into opportunities in which we can grab hold of them and do something in a time span. I can remember when I had a breakdown, one of my prayers to God was, please don't let this process take forever. Let the light at the end of the tunnel not be an approaching train. And also please let the light at the end of the tunnel not be ever continuous, because I'm walking in the tunnel with you and you helping me here, but I'm finding out that you're building on the other side of the tunnel for some purpose like character growth, or I'm not into that. I want to walk into the light, and when I walk into the light, I would appreciate it if it could just be about you and me. And you can teach anything to me in any way, was my plea and my heart cry. So Nehemiah gets a letter of authority, and he goes and gets the wood so that he can fix the doorways and the gates, and he inspects over 3 nights the city. He looks at the brokenness. You and I need to take time, and we need to take reflection time to step back and really ask the question, so what's broken in me? We can do that with a friend. We can find help by means of a counselor, psychological person who can help us, and go to someone that's professional. And we can ask the question, what is broken? Because our brokenness is one of the missions in our life that we can need to restore. So we work on our own life before we work on others. When the young lawyer came to Yeshua, Jesus, and said, I want you to give me the bottom line, summarize the Ten Commandments for me, because 10 is too many. And Jesus said, fine, I'll divide it up and I'll summarize it into two. And he said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Love yourself and then love your neighbor. We get the love God right in churches. A lot have preached of that. And God loves us. We get the love your neighbor right because there's lots of sermons on that. But there are very, very few sermons that I have heard and even I have preached on the subject of love yourself. Paying attention to your brokenness is an act of love. Paying attention to that which is wounded and bruised and misaligned is an act of self-love. You can't heal yourself, of course, but you can do what you have to do. You heard about the rabbi who was praying to God, God, help me, help me, help me. I'm not winning the lotto. And he heard a voice in the room, Rabbi, give me a chance. Go and buy a ticket. So we've got our part to play. You can't just expect to do things and become things and sit back with your arms folded and God is going to do everything for you. A friend of mine once told me, he said, Bill, God's not going to do your push-ups for you and God is not going to do exercises for you. You have to do that yourself so that you can have a healthy body and have longevity. God is not going to chew your food properly for you. God is not going to do stuff that you can do because he's given you that commandment in the book of Genesis to be fruitful. That means to be productive, to multiply, double everything that you've got in your lifetime, replenish, which means to franchise and scale your life to more than yourself, duplicate yourself in others, then subdue with self-control, and then govern with orchestration. And he's given all of that to us. It's our job to do that. One of the verses that stands out in the story of Nehemiah was, the good hand of the Father is upon me. The good hand of the Father is on my shoulder. And right now, amidst your brokenness, amidst all the stuff that's in your life, the worries, the perplexities, the things that you're hoping for, longing for, wishing for, disappointments, disarray, rejection, resentments, regrets, take a moment just to be still. And I want to invite you just to close your eyes and take either your left hand or your right hand and put it on the opposite shoulder and just let it rest there for a while as you close your eyes and repeat with me the scripture. And the good hand of the Father is on me. And breathe in and do it again. The good hand of the Father is on me. And breathe in. And as you breathe out, say it out loud. As you hold your hand on your shoulder to feel it kinesthetically, imagine the hand of God, the hand of your Father, the Our Father who art in heaven, whose name is hallowed, that one, his hand, is on your shoulder. I wonder what changes. I wonder what you're thinking now. I wonder how big your problem looks now. It hasn't disappeared, I can assure you. But I see it differently, I'm sure of that. I perceive it differently, I'm sure of that. And so as we reflect over our broken life, Nehemiah got the elders together and he said, guys, we're going to plan on rebuilding the city walls. He got buy-in. And one of the first things that you need to do is to work on what are my resources? Who have I got that can help me? Nehemiah didn't do the building of the walls by himself. Who's there around you that you can call, that you can pick up the phone, that you can create a coffee appointment with, that you can make a fire and sit next to them in watching the fire burning and say to them, my mission is I want to be healed. I'm tired of being half healed. I'm tired of calling my brokenness just a scratch. I'm daring to be honest with myself. And I would like you to help me. The first gate that was broken, that had to be restored, each gate, there were 10 of them, had a name. And the first gate that in the northeastern corner of Jerusalem was called the Sheep Gate. And this was an important gate because the priests and the high priests who used to watch their flocks outside of the city, and that's where we got the Christmas carol, while shepherds watched their flocks by night. My grandson sings it, while shepherds washed their socks by night. And I said to him, no, that's not what they did. So the priests also were shepherds. And they would take the sacrificial lambs, the lambs without blemish, and they would bring them through the sheep gate in the northeastern corner. And priests were not only shepherds, but they were also goldsmiths. They were also perfume makers. And the sheep gate was near the pool of Bethesda, where Jesus said, I am the living water, in John chapter 5, verse 2. We're also reminded that the sheep gate is about the Lamb of God, about the cross of Christ, where he bought us with a great price. The sheep gate also reminds us that we are his sheep and we know the voice of the shepherd. The first thing you need to restore is your aspect of sacrifice, your concept of giving, your ingenuity of being entrepreneurial, your focus on God through Christ, who is the Lamb. The second gate that he went to was called the Fish Gate. Now, the Fish Gate was where fishermen and merchants brought their fish and they sold it there. It was like in Matthew 9 or 4 verse 19, where Jesus said to one of the disciples when he called them, I'm going to make you fishers of men. So the Fish Gate reminds us of our influence and our connection with others. And one of the things, the second thing we need to restore is our connection and relationship with others, the yearning. It's not only winning souls, but it's also having a connection with someone who can help heal me. Jesus sent us into a world, and the United Nations defines 17 needs of the world. And I'm wondering, what need are you going to fulfill in your lifetime and make an impact on in your world? So we're not just sent by Jesus into a world to speak the gospel, but we also in our world to change it, the economy, poverty, food, electricity, solar systems, medical. The third gate is called the Old Gate. And this gate is in the northwest. It is identified in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 3 as the corner gate. But it was actually the main entrance to the old part of Jerusalem. So in the beginning, the old part of Jerusalem had a city in it within its walls called the City of Salem. To be able to work in our lives, we've got to pay attention to what's our old nature. What are the thoughts and the beliefs and the feelings that have created our actions, our behaviors, and our character? And the old gate says in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, consider all the old ways. Rabbi Paul in Colossians 3 says, walk in the newness of Christ. So what we do when we get to the old gate is where we consider that I've got to work with the old programs in my mind, the old thought patterns, the old desires, the old habits that crept in, the actions, the rituals, the rhythms that were built by us by choice in response to circumstances, and it became our personality. That's our humanity. The Hebrew word for, or the Greek word for flesh, doesn't only mean that it's sinful. The Hebrew word and Greek word for flesh means our humanity, our humanness. And the church has done a great job in telling us that it's always sinful, that our flesh is always sinful. There's nothing right in it. But God molded our human biology and called it flesh. But we have embedded in it programs. And that's what we need to do. We need to visit the old programs and ask this question. How do I need to transform my thinking? What do I need to do to transform my thinking? And if you're thinking about that, you can contact me on my email, bill.price@me.com. bill.price@me.com. Until next time.
Be doers of the word with 657 AM. Sounds of Life.
Radio Pulpit understands that praying alone isn't always easy. So join us to form a chain of prayer for you and with you. To send in prayer requests, contact 067-429-7564 or alternatively email us on prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
In today's rush world, there is limited time for yourself. Your cell phone, however, is with you all the time. So why not use it? Visit our Radio Pulpit website with your cell phone and restore your soul. There you can find out more about Radio Pulpit, download the Bible to your cell phone, read Word for Today, and you can listen to us online. Just visit www.radiopulpit.co.za, especially developed for your cell phone. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.